Today's episode is brought to you by Positively Productive Systems, whose mission is to be the antidote to your stress and to provide compassionate productivity resources and coaching that help you heal and achieve. Be sure to check out both free and paid resources at positivelyproductive.com/resources.
Lisa, here's the thing. Nobody starts a company and has the thought that, you know what? 3 to 5 years from now, I want to wake up hating everything that I do for this company. I want to resent it. Yeah, nobody has that as a business goal, right? But when you are doing all the things, you're not leveraging automation, you're not leveraging delegating things out when you really need to, you're not building that space for yourself and holding space for yourself and nurturing yourself and taking care of yourself as a visionary, that's where you're headed. You're headed down this road to burnout where you are going to find yourself like, you know what? If I wanted to be under this much stress and feel just as I do, I could go and get a job and be miserable working for somebody else, have steady income and benefits.
You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a coach certified in time and stress management, helping clients make space for what matters most in their lives. Join me each episode and we'll talk about decluttering, stress management, habits, personalized productivity, gratitude, and so much more. I understand the overwhelm of life because I'm a wife, mom to kids and cats, and a former caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Self-care is a big topic on the Positively Living Podcast for a reason. As a former caregiver, I know what it's like to lose yourself to burnout and wonder how you can come back from that and where you could possibly put in any self-care. Ever since that time, I've been a self-care advocate dedicated to helping others figure out what it means for them and how to invite it into their lives. It's a huge part of what I do as a productivity coach because the two are inextricably linked. This is showcased beautifully in my conversation today with LaVista Jones as we uncover 4 ways systems support self-care. You already know the first. Systems can increase efficiency, buying you back time. We discuss that and so much more, including 3 more ways that might surprise you. My guest, LaVista, is the founder and CEO of 31 Marketplace, an agency that helps overworked solopreneurs get ish done without the burnout by blending systemization and self-care. As an author, speaker, strategist, and coach, LaVista is leading a movement of entrepreneurs who want more from life than frazzled days and sleepless nights. Speaking as a wife, mom, and entrepreneur, she shares an inspiring message that challenges the archaic and often coveted idea of work-life balance. In addition to systems and self-care, LaVista and I review hustle culture and delegation, which should be familiar as we've covered those topics here as well. If you're interested in digging into those themes more, head to episodes 16 on self-care as a business strategy, 18 on decluttering through delegation, and 63 on freedom from the hustle culture. You'll walk away from today's episode not only with the 4 ways systems can support self-care, but the next best steps for you to take. In addition to the steps recommended by LaVista, I suggest downloading the Joylist worksheet from my free resources library if you haven't already done so. This worksheet will help you create your own self-care guide in minutes. Head to positivelyproductive.com/joy and be sure to message me on Instagram @positively_Lisa when you've completed it. I'd love to know what lights you up. Now let's join LaVista. Welcome, LaVista Jones, to the Positively Living Podcast. I am so delighted you joined me today.
I'm so excited to be here, Lisa. I think that we're going to have a great conversation.
Well, it's about an important topic that we have both experienced personally and deal with professionally. And self-care is one of those big buzzwords, right, that I think we really need to dig into and help people understand and how we can get there from here. But before we do that, I would love it if you would share a bit about who you are and who you help and what lights you up.
All right. Who am I? So I am a Buckeye, born and raised. I am an Ohio girl, but I do live in the desert of Arizona now with my family. I am a wife, have been married for 10 years as of last year. So that was an exciting milestone for us to cross. Married to my college sweetheart, and we have a little boy. So I am a mama to a super energetic little, and he keeps me on my toes on a daily basis. A little bit more about myself. I love doing nothing, like sitting on the couch and like just completely vegging out. You know, if I don't have, you know, something on my schedule, at any moment you can see me watching a crime scene docuseries, like something about serial killers. Like, that's one of the things that lights me up. And my coach thinks it's such a weird thing about me, but I'm like, I like it.
I know many who do.
She's like, to relax, I watch Hallmark movies, you watch people being murdered. And I'm like, yeah, it's a
tomato, weird thing, tomato.
Yeah, it's my thing. It's my thing. And a little bit about, you know, what I do in the marketplace. So I work with overwhelmed women that I say that they have found themselves at this crossroad of vision and overwhelm, where they see where they want to take their business. But when they're looking around at their systems and the way that they're running things, they know there's no way they can get there as is. And they need some help streamlining their systems, getting things in order, leveraging automation, fire themselves from things that they don't need to do anymore. And so I come in and help them strategically plan that out. And then my team can come behind and offer them some of the implementation support if they need it.
Love that. And one of the phrases that you shared with me that I love is this idea of building a life that nurtures me, right?
Yes.
And that, I think, was that overlap that we had. I'm like, yes, that's yes, what we want. And part of that is self-care. Mm-hmm. So I love what you said about it. And I was immediately thinking about, you can't get there from here. You know, like this whole idea where it's like, when you're like looking at what you got and you're like, and I want to go to there, but mm-hmm, this isn't going to happen. And it's so incredibly important that we understand in that strategic design that self-care is a must. It's not optional. It is a must in doing so. So would you expand a bit about where you're seeing the burnout come from? I like this crossroads of vision and overwhelm idea. So, I mean, that really speaks to my multi-passionate creatives, right? My people, in that, you know, you do have all the ideas and the excitement, but where are the places that you're seeing the burnout and how are you seeing it like manifesting basically?
Yeah. You know, Lisa, I see it in the marketplace. I see it mirrored from past habits that I had when I was in corporate. So I often refer to myself as a corporate dropout. And in that, I guess, season of my life, I always make sure that I point out that I loved that particular season. I loved what I did. I loved the work, but I had really terrible boundaries, especially around my time. And that is one of the things that led to my burnout in my corporate career and ultimately led to me resigning from that position, a position again that I loved. And so in the marketplace, I see a lot of entrepreneurs doing some of those same things. So they are working until 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, pulling all-nighters. They have their schedule completely available to whomever, whenever somebody wants to talk to them. They don't have any kind of, you know, stop gaps. Like, no, like I don't talk to people beyond like 3 o'clock, or I don't work on the weekends. Like they don't have any of those time boundaries around their schedule when people can, you know, connect with them, reach out to them, get, you know, something from them. They also have issues with feeling like they have to show everybody that they're capable by doing all of the things. And so we have some delegation gaps, right? That I know that was a thing that I saw in corporate a lot, because you're in this position where you are taught to do more with less. So less people, less support, like you're doing the job of like 2 and 3 people. And so I see that in the marketplace all of the time, where an entrepreneur is taking on all the hats, they're doing all of the tasks, they're doing all of the things, and like they're just so consumed with busyness and kind of adhering and paying homage to like that hustle culture that it's just like, if I'm not going, I'm not successful.
Right. The having to be busy, and we say it all the time, right? Busy versus productive. But I think your point is so important in that it's not just about, oh, I'm busy because I have lots to do and I haven't figured out what needs to be done or who needs to do it or any of those things. And all of those things do apply. But I think it's something deeper in there in the identity that you're talking about, that we identify somehow as better or more capable, as you said, when we're doing more, right? And we're doing the things.
Well, because when you ask somebody like, oh, how are you doing today? And they're like, oh, I'm busy. Good, but busy. And it's like, I didn't ask you how busy you were. I asked, how are you doing? Right.
Yes.
And it's like, we equate that, hey, if I am busy and I am running around like crazy and doing all these things and like, this is the way that it's got to be. And it's just like, that's not true. That's not true at all, actually. There is a much easier way to do pretty much everything that you want to do. It doesn't require you taking on all of the roles in your business.
Right. And asking yourself if it needs to be done. And then my favorite phrase is ask, how can it get done? You'll notice I didn't say, how can I do it? Ask, how can it get done? It's a one time as an English major. It's like, okay, we're actually going passive this time. It's okay. Because you want to open that up to the possibilities. And I love what you're talking about with delegation. A shout out to my biz bestie, Liz August. We had an episode about decluttering through delegation. And it's amazing, like how much you can check off your to-do list when you take it off your to-do list, right?
Yes.
And remove it from your plate. That's such an important point. So we do that because the hustle culture, right? Because we think we need to be busy, maybe because we love some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe because we're unsure about delegating. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, right?
There's a lot. Sometimes it's pride, right? Like clients that I have talked to, they've known that they've needed some support or a way to figure out how to do this or how to do this better for a while. But it's what I call boss shame that has kept them from raising their hand and saying, hey, I need help. Because you think, hey, I'm the boss. I'm the owner of this company. I need to have all the answers. So like, I've got to figure it out or I've got to do it. And it's like, no, because you're afraid that raising your hand is going to show like, hey, I'm vulnerable and I don't always have my ish together. But I mean, that's true. You're not always going to have it together. And we all need help. Like vision for your business, it's not a solo gig. Like you need some support to get this done.
And let's dispel the myth right now, here and now, you heard it, okay, is that when you need help, right, when you're raising your hand and being like, okay, come on in, it has nothing to do with how amazing you are for your customers, your clients, what you're doing, nothing at all. They don't connect. We're human. We need help. I'll tell you that boss shame, that's a great phrase. I mean, not great that you're experiencing it, but it really says it all. That word shame, I would love to eradicate that because it doesn't serve us, but I understand it. And I know I felt it. It's kind of tricky as a productivity coach when I'm like, okay, kind of a hot mess. I need someone to come in and help me with my systems. You know, mm-hmm. I do a lot, but you get to a certain point and there are people out there who are specialists in what they do.
Yes.
I'm a specialist in figuring out what the right systems and habits are for you, but I'm not going to be setting up your Trello or your Dubsado or your ClickUp or whatever. I can get you there to the point of you knowing that's the right choice. And that's a really important step. And then I'll hand you off to a specialist, you know, I'll hand you off to someone who can set up those systems. And I think it's just so important to understand that we all have our gifts and our talents and that needing help isn't a reflection on those at all.
No, it's not. It's not. We all need help.
Let's start talking now about this idea of where we can find the help. I mean, through delegation for sure, but the topic of the day in connecting to self-care is what systems can do for us. So let's talk a bit about systems and what you see them as, how you work with them, how we develop them, and how they can help us.
Yeah, I really think that systems are a capacity maximizer for a business owner. And so I would say that a lot of conversations that start with me when people reach out to me, it's because they're in that place of like that uncomfortable, like I've got this stuff going on. I feel like there's a better way that I could be doing it, but I don't quite know how to do it. And usually their first thought is I need to hire a VA or I need to bring on an assistant. Or, you know, I need another body that is here helping me do these things. And it's like, well, okay, like you might need that person, but it's probably not your best next step. Like, let's look at what's going on with your actual business. Let's find out where these gaps are, you know, in your processes. And one of the things that I try to have clients do is leverage automation, right? Like, you know, there are a lot of us that have like these tools and, you know, that it's just like, oh, well, my CRM, it sucks. It, you know, it won't do this or it won't do that. And it's like, does it really suck? Or do you just not know how to fully use it? Are you not optimizing exactly everything that it can do? And a lot of times that's the case where, you know, I'll even use like me for an example. I felt that pressure in my own business and I knew that I needed some support with onboarding new clients. But when I brought on my assistant, it was one of those things that's like, you know what? I am a systems person. I know that there is a better way to do this. And wasting my time is one thing, but paying her to waste her time is a totally different thing. And so it's like, we've got this CRM, we're not really using it. Everything is still very disjointed. Like I'm still logging into 6 different platforms to do this, to send out an email, to send out a contract, to send out an invoice. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay her to waste her time. And it was like, all right, let's actually map out this process. How do we actually leverage these things that we already have, automate these things? And so we were able to take like this hour-long process and her manual part of that turned into like 2 minutes. And it's like, yeah, I can definitely feel good about paying for somebody to be on the clock for 2 minutes versus an hour when the tool that's right there in front of me can take care of all those things. And so that's what I say that systems are a capacity maximizer, right? So it's like, if you can sit down, work through a process, step by step, right? Figure out like, what's your end goal? How do we get there? And then how do we use the things that are around us? How do we use those resources? Sometimes it is a person, but sometimes you're delegating those tasks to a tool that can just take care of it. You set it up the one time, you know, it's like that front end energy and, you know, planning and strategy you need to do, and you set it up and it's done.
Yes.
You know, you don't need a VA for that. You don't need an assistant for that. You just need to leverage what you've got. So automation, I think, is a key part to that. You know, it's a definite team member that you need to rely on. Like, I don't think that we use it enough in the stuff that we do.
I absolutely agree. Math is not my strong suit. I was going to say 1,000%. I feel like that's not a thing, but if it could be, it would be.
I think that's fine. 1,000%. I mean, 1,000 is a real number. So why not put a percentage behind it?
Exactly. I want to highlight something that you said within this. And I think it's so important. So we understand the components. We've talked about this many times on the podcast. Had a great episode with Layla Pomper about ClickUp as just one example. And that's her platform that she works in the most for her clients. Great. And we talked about whether or not it's right for you, but more importantly, we talked about how the process has to come first. And that's exactly what you described so beautifully. What are those steps? And then the other thing that you described that I think we forget so much, and you've just highlighted what systems can do. I like this capacity maximizer. This is really good. These nuanced areas that we don't even realize how they're going to help. When you break down that process, and you figure out, let's say, what can be automated. Once you break down the process, you also potentially, like that move of breaking it down, you can speed up each of those steps because of the clarity.
Yeah, it becomes super efficient because looking at it, seeing it there in black and white, it's just like, oh, that step's not actually necessary. We don't need to, like, nobody needs to do that. We don't even need to find a tool that can do that. It's not a necessary step because I think that, you know, too often we keep so much of that in our head, right? Like, this is this process and this is this process. And really all a system is your steps, right? Like, we use systems every day, whether you're a business owner or not. Like, if you are a mom, right, you use a system to get your children up and out the door and off to school. Now, whether you call it a system or not, that's what it is. You get them up at a certain time. They have a certain order that you expect them to do things as far as getting dressed, getting their teeth brushed, eating their breakfast, getting their backpack, and getting their behinds in the car or to the bus stop by a certain, that's a system.
Yep.
And so it's the same approach that you use to ordering groceries online, to getting a newsletter to go out, to onboarding a new client. those are systems. It's just those steps. Where are you? Where do you want to go? Those steps in the middle, that's your system.
Right. Even the podcast recording that we had when we hopped on, I have a system in place. I have a, you know, pregame checklist of things that we do, taking a selfie. So watch for that on Instagram. And, you know, and also too, you know, the steps that we're taking through it, then the steps that I take after, and then once the episode is set. And you're right, all of those things, those steps, those processes are systems. So again, the system is not the platform. It's the components, the elements that take you from point A to point B, and hopefully in the most efficient way possible.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And then when you have those systems down, you're leveraging your resources, be it a platform, a person, automation, whatever the case may be, then that frees you up to actually be able to practice self-care, right? Which is one of the things that we're talking about. And that's why, you know, I always say that, like, I help my clients adopt self-care as a business strategy, right? Like, how can we build this system for you in a way that's actually going to nurture you? And one of the ways that I do that is working with the client's love languages, right? So I want to know what their dominant love languages are, because I think that they're tied to your operations in the way that you build your systems. One of the examples that I love to use is, like, if you are a words of affirmation person, like that's one of your most dominant love languages, like you for sure need to incorporate that into your feedback and, like, offboarding process, right? Because words light you up. Words do it for you. So why not make sure that you have an automated, consistent process that requests that feedback from a client? Because it's like literally guaranteeing that you're going to get little love notes from your clients on a consistent basis. And that's one of those things that's going to help you build a business that's going to nurture you, because that's the way you built it. You built your business to literally show you love.
I love this, because I was just about to say, now let's start making a list of the ways in which systems will provide that self-care. So the first one, the very obvious one, is we're tightening, we're streamlining, we're making it more efficient. So we're opening up the space to do the things that are self-care to us. And as I've said many times, I have a worksheet called the Joy List, and it's creating your own self-care guide, because it's not always about the pampering. Don't get me wrong. Love the pampering.
Love the pampering.
Right? Yes. Yeah. But it's also about the things that light you up, the things that nourish you, and making time for that. But here's another way that systems can help. This is such a great suggestion to build it right into. It's part of your process.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's also really smart on a business level, because the more that we can have testimonials and social proof, the stronger that is in terms of our promotion. But the idea that while you're doing that, so technically it's a smart move, but then that can also touch upon your love language, for example. So efficient, because you're, this is like multi-level. I love it.
Right, right. I mean, it's not just like, okay, you've got efficient systems and it's freeing up your time. Well, that's major though, right? Like, especially if you are in a place where you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling just, like having some free time, some downtime, like that just relieves so much pressure and tension. And it's just like, okay, like I can actually think, which is great. And it does free up time for you to take a lunch, take a lunch on a consistent basis, like feed yourself. Or if you want, take a nap, go for a walk in the neighborhood, whatever the case may be. But, you know, like you were saying, the multi-level, right? It's like You're just stacking things on top of it to, okay, now I've built this business that gives me the free time to do the things that I want to do, like maybe spend more time with my family or read more, whatever that case may be. But while you're actually doing the things in your business, it's also nurturing you that way as well.
I love this so much. And you get 1,200 bonus points for mentioning food and sleeping.
Yes.
So I feel like it's a high score today.
Yes.
And the other thing that you mentioned without mentioning it, that's part of this equation, and the way you described it, you're like, I just, you know, I feel clearer and, you know, it just, it's not, you know, reducing the overwhelm, right? And being sure about the next steps and making things easier and simpler, and all of that reduces stress. And that's a huge part of self-care.
Absolutely. Because Lisa, here's the thing. Nobody starts a company and has the thought that, you know what, 3 to 5 years from now, I want to wake up hating everything that I do for this company. I want to resent it. That's what I wanted.
That's like, my goal.
Yeah, nobody has that as a business goal, right? But when you are doing all the things, you're not leveraging automation, you're not leveraging delegating things out when you really need to, you're not building that space for yourself and holding space for yourself and nurturing yourself and taking care of yourself as a visionary, that's where you're headed. You're headed down this road to burnout where you are going to find yourself like, you know what? If I wanted to be under this much stress and feel just as I do, I could go and get a job and be miserable working for somebody else, have steady income and benefits.
Right. So something about this is not adding up.
Yeah, this is not adding up. Like, because nobody, that's not a goal for anybody to say, you know what, I hate this business that I have spent so much time and energy and resources into it. Like, that's not goals.
I also want to highlight something else that you said a little while ago that I absolutely love. It's my lens of the world. It's a total bias. But as you set up a system, right, the process of doing that and talking about your process of whatever it is you're trying to create gives you an opportunity to see what doesn't belong and to declutter. And it's another way that you're simplifying things.
Yep, absolutely.
Love that. Okay, so now, where do we go from here in terms of, we're like, okay, I got it. La Vista, you have convinced me systems is the way to go. What's the next best step for us when we walk away here today to start addressing this and to head towards systems? What do we do next?
Well, you know, I think that if you don't already have them documented, start documenting your systems, right? I think it's one thing to have the intention to have things set up and streamlined and automated, but it really starts with literally putting pencil or pen to paper and getting it out of your head, right? Like, I think that that's like the very first step that you have to go through. From there, it's like, that's where you're going to be able to see like, okay, this is not even necessary. This is something that needs to be done, but, you know, can either be done by this tool or by somebody else. And you just kind of start attacking that like one system at a time. Like, how do I make this one more efficient? How do I leverage, you know, automation for here? How do I find somebody to be in the right spot to take care of these things? With that freeing up your time and then you being able to focus on, like you said, like your joy list. Like, I have a joy list, right? I think it's so important to reconnect with your joy. And it's how can I use this business then to help me get more of that, right? Like, on purpose, because like, your self-care, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it's got to be done intentionally and you have to do it consistently. And I think that, you know, those things are going to help you feel better. And I think that they're going to help you notice that like, okay, things are running more smoothly. Like, I'm more happy. Like, I, you know, you probably are even going to feel like more creative because you're actually going to have time to think instead of feeling like completely bogged down by everything that you've got going on right now. And then from there, I would just say, try and incorporate more and more joy into your life. Like, right. So what are all the little things that you can do throughout the day to take care of yourself? How can your business help you do that? Right. Like, you know, we joked about eating, but it's such a big thing. Like, I know that was like a habit in corporate America. Like, I would have back-to-back calls, sometimes 2-3 calls at the same time on my calendar. And I knew that I had a problem one day, Lisa, when I logged on to a call and I apologized for being a couple minutes late because I had to go to the bathroom.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, in my head, I was like, did I just apologize because I had to pee? I was like, what? Just like, what is going on? Right. And so it's like, all right, how do I hold the space for myself that I need to take care of me? And I think that, you know, beyond you fulfilling like what your vision is in the marketplace and, you know, being able to fulfill what it is that you're doing for your clients, how are you taking care of yourself as a visionary?
Yeah. Those like boundaries.
It's gotta be a priority. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are so, so important. I'll tell you, one of the things that I do, I enjoy this the most with clients is actually sitting down to create that puzzle of the weekly template, what it's going to look like. And it is sometimes a little bit of a, oh, aha, kind of moment when it's like, where's your lunch break? Mm-hmm. Not even kidding. And I mean, yes, I joke about, you know, if anybody who follows me on Instagram knows food, coffee, cats, you know, all my love languages, right? Music, but they are things that quite literally nourishes us, but it does so much more than that because you are building in a break. You are building in these are all forms of mindfulness practice in a way, being fully present, like you were saying, of, you know, going back and forth. And more than that, that each and every opportunity we have, each and every bit of space that we carve out through like the system development, there's an opportunity to, I love what you said about holding the space. And to me, I'm also thinking protecting it.
Yeah. I was gonna say those are your non-negotiables, right? Yeah. Like your lunch, like that's your, like you're a human. You need to eat.
Yeah. It's kind of a thing.
Nourish yourself with some food. Like you don't have to pull double duty and take a phone call while you're eating. Go eat and enjoy it.
It makes you more productive, flat out. So we've dispelled the fact that you have to, right, this hustle culture that you have to push through anyhow. So what's the point? It's going to make you more productive. So why not do it? And I'll tell you, one of my clients recently, when we set this all out and it was like, okay, I've just scheduled my lunchtime on my calendar. And she even said, even though we're coming around from a crazy kind of schedule, right, that needs to be streamlined and, you know, adjusted. It's like, well, you have to start somewhere. So here are the things you're going to place in there, and you're going to come up against blocks because of things you've already scheduled, but that's okay. She was actually surprised to see how well that time could work. Yes, there were a few places, and then those are the days that you adjust and you do it at a different time, or maybe you have a later, like a sort of brunchy kind of breakfasty thing, you know, to hold you through, or you keep snacks handy or whatever. But the whole point is you're proactively designing it in a way that you can then anticipate what you need. And more importantly than anything else, you're setting the rule. There will be exceptions, that's fine, but then it's the rule. And I know what you mean. The corporate world was the same thing for me. There was an expectation that somehow you are a more quality employee if you suffered, if you sacrificed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's let that go now, right?
And we bring that, even if you haven't had corporate experience as a business owner, you still somehow plug into that culture of like, I've got to be doing something around the clock, or I'm not a successful business owner. And one of the things that you were saying, you know, just about like, okay, putting in your lunch, and sometimes like, you know, it does need to be flexible based on, you know, if you already had some stuff scheduled out because you're adjusting to this new normal that you're creating for yourself, but you don't have to be like an afterthought in your business. You get to be the priority. It's your company.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how you build it and start creating that business and that life that like you just love. And you have like this company that is literally taking care of you instead of depleting everything from you.
I love that. I think that's where we wrap up with that thought. That is a beautiful, beautiful thought. There's a little more fun to be had. We have a few more questions, but before we do that, tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah. You know, Lisa, I keep it simple. On social media, you can just find me at Lavisa Jones. They're on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Or you can just go to my website, lavisajones.com, and you will find me.
Awesome. I will have those links in the show notes. So Awesome. Now, if you would fill in the blanks for me, please. First is a song that lifts my spirits, makes me dance, is?
Every single time I hear Kiss from Prince, it's an instant party.
Instant party. So
it is an instant party. Yes.
Make sure that you incorporate that in, if you don't already, into your system. Speaking of systems, I've made it easy. That song is going on the Positively Living podcast Spotify dance playlist, volume 3. Nice. And you can play it along with all the other awesome songs that that guests have suggested to energize you and bring some joy into your life. Okay. How about a quote or a mantra that I share often that inspires me?
Burnout is not my final destination. Yeah, it comes from what I call a boss manifesto that I wrote for myself and my audience. And that's one of the things that kind of, it's one of those foundational pillars, I think, of the manifesto itself. I've been there before. I know that I am personally never going to go back. And I know that I'm on a mission to make sure that no other entrepreneur experiences that either. So burnout is not my final destination.
Amen to that. Okay. And how about a resource? It could be a book or an app, just something that's made my life better.
You know, a book that I love is, it's a book called Referral of a Lifetime by Tim Templeton. Hmm. And for those with children, not to be confused with the Tim Templeton that is in Boss Baby. This is the author, Tim Templeton, because I was like, is that the same name? And it is the same name, two totally different people. But it's a really great book. I love the way that it's written. It's like a story versus like a business resource. And so when I first read it, because I've actually read it multiple times, I read it, I think, in three settings of like breastfeeding my son when he was an infant. Like it was just so good that I was like, oh, I've got to keep reading. But it really walks through some really core concepts of a relational business.
Beautiful. Okay. I will add that link in the show notes as well. And last, but definitely not least, what or whom are you grateful for today, La Vista?
You know, I would say in this moment, I'm grateful for my family, especially my nuclear family with my husband and my son. They are my biggest fans and my greatest supporters. And I would not be able to be in the position that I am in without both of them.
Love that. Okay. Well, I am most certainly grateful for you that we connected, that you joined me here. And I want to thank you so much, La Vista, for shining your light so brightly in this world and for sharing it with us today.
It was my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. Your time is precious and limited, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you have feedback, questions, or want to schedule a chat, head to positivelyproductive.com/connect. And if you are looking for any of the resources referenced on the podcast, from books to products to training and more, go to positivelyproductive.com/resources.